I like to boil hardware down into what I call feature, function, and finish.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
So, Kevin, I'm super excited to dive into this chat with Tim Zorich, who is the hardware specialist at the sponsor of this show, Mountain View Window and Door. We're going to go in, and I'm so excited to peel back these layers because hardware, I think, is one of those most complicated things that gets so overlooked. But yet, when it comes to the end, it's that jewelry, it's those statement pieces that you really see when the job is done. But typically, the money's gone before you get there, and it's trying to understand, and like we always talk about on The Art of Construction, is get it all right on paper and understand and begin with the end in mind and understand that hardware to where you can work out the whole project. And I want to go and talk with him about some of the consistent things that we see as complications as far as us as experts in the industry. Maybe people aren't quite sure of certain things, like let's talk about setbacks and mortise locks and door stops.
Well, and one of the things we always talk about here is the fact that we kind of refer to hardware a lot of times as being the jewelry on the door system. But at the same time, there's a lot that can go wrong. So it's not just a matter of saying, hey, I like that, let's grab that. It's got to work together. It's got to coordinate. And that's where Tim provides a lot of expertise that we're going to be excited to be able to share with our audience today. So
the message of this show is, don't wait to talk about hardware. So we're not going to wait about it here at The Art of Construction. So we're going to go in and we're going to talk about hardware with Tim. In my day job, I'm the president owner of Mountain View Window and Door, the sponsor of this show.
And I'm Kevin Keefe. I'm the sales manager and chief relationship officer here at Mountain View Window and Door.
Tim, lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage is Coke.
Coke. All right. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
I would have to say Puerto Vallarta.
Give us one story or experience from that.
Well, at one time we thought our third son was conceived there, but we decided the timing was off, but it was nevertheless a great trip.
Nice. So tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena.
Well, I am a hunter. I played soccer up until my old knees went bad. Sports of any kind.
What's your best hunting experience?
Wow, probably my first elk.
All right,
which
tell
has
us
been
about
a number
that.
Of years. Are you really want? You sure you want to know?
We do. Definitely want to. We want to know about the big elk hunt, the first elk hunt.
Well, Glenwood Springs, bad weather, across from Windy Point. Some elk came across the hill. I went to take a sight on him, and because of the bad weather, my scope was fogged up. So I was hunting with a guy that had on a pair of old gnarly woolen gloves, and he cleared just enough of the fog off of my scope for me to get a look at him. But by that time, he'd kind of ducked into the brush, and so I had to wait about 30 seconds. And then my buddy started to say, I think he's gone. Just then, the elk raised his head up, and I pulled the trigger, and my buddy about jumped out of his skivvies.
Yeah, that's excellent. When you hear those stories of the elk hunts, it's definitely a big, rewarding experience, but a lot of work. My elk hunts, I remember it being a lot more work. I didn't shoot one. I got to help haul all the elk out of there. That was a big, big job, but a lot of fun and definitely memorable experiences elk hunting, right?
Yeah, I always say the fun stops when your ears quit ringing.
Well said. Well, we're excited to have Tim Zorich here in the studio MVWD here in the Art of Construction for you contractors and architects to grow your business. This is one that's really close to the heart as far as Mountain View Window and Door, the sponsor of this show. We want to peel back the layers and talk all things hardware that are related to windows and doors. So to kind of give the backstory of this is I bought a little company back in the day called Mountain View Window Design. And I changed the name to Mountain View Window and Door. I thought a lot about making it Mountain View Window, Door, and Hardware, but I just thought that was too long of a term. So I left the hardware out. But when it comes to windows and doors, hardware is that item when it gets to the end of it that it's always, there's never enough budget, but it's that jewelry on it that truly everybody sees. Tim and I can peel back some layers and tell the story about how we just got done placing the hardware in my house. And I see there's a lot of, I think, hardware that's done over time. And you see this mixture of all those different colors. So I thought it'd be fun to take Tim's experience as we are relaunching or kind of rebranding within my company as Tim at the helm of the hardware game here at Mountain View Indoor Indoor. He has a lot of experience. So, Tim, give us your background as far as how many companies you've worked for yourself, to kind of paint the picture that it's not your first rodeo selling hardware, talking about hardware, right?
Not at all. I actually started at the counter straight out of college for a company called Interstate Hardware. I was in my own self-employed business for 13 years, a couple other stints here and there, but all of it's been in mostly the hardware industry, either directly or indirectly, both commercial and residential. The bulk of my career has been in decorative hardware.
Tim came to us from Denver Hardware, which that's all they do is hardware, like their name says. I want to start this conversation by kind of painting the picture of internally to say how we're trying to maybe change the market, but I don't think it's change. I think it's just educating the market. As far as my company and the sponsor that sponsors the Art of Construction is Mountain View Window and Door. The hardware portion of it is very important, but how do you pass the buck or transition the wand if you sell the hardware, if you don't, and get it to all work together? So, Kevin, tell us about how your history from being a contractor, how you dealt with hardware to today as the sales manager in between, how hardware has been for you in your day-to-day life.
Well, when you're in the construction arena and dealing with clients of all different types, hardware is one of those things that's critically important. Obviously, none of the items are going to function properly without it on the one hand. On the other hand, like you described, part of it is a jewelry item, meaning it's a decorative item. So you've got designers, homeowners, you've got a lot of people involved in that conversation. So it's really a matter of not only picking the correct design, but making sure that it functions correctly. And that's where having Tim here is such a great asset, because you can look at something and it may just be wonderful, but in terms of how it looks, it may be wonderful, but then it may not necessarily fit that setup on that particular door or window or whatever it may be. So it's really a challenge to get those two all working in a good flow.
So do you ever see architects spec hardware when you're working with an architect?
Yeah, it happens quite a bit, actually, yeah.
Does it help the process?
Generally not at that point, because it's one of those things where I think there are just so many items to put on a list that sometimes an initial idea will get thrown out there, maybe never reviewed again. And so by the time you get to that point of actually working on the project and filling all the orders, it may not necessarily be the most current scheme that they're looking for.
I find that interesting that you say generally not. And I think you're answering that because the person who actually makes the decision on the hardware is typically not the architect.
Correct.
And it changes 10 times, right?
Yeah, particularly in residential. It may be different in some categories, you know, of commercial work where an owner per se may not be that interested in those details and leave it to the architect. But when it comes to custom homes, which is our primary bread and butter, yeah, the homeowner is going to be actively involved in that process usually.
This one is really close to the vest as far as we at Mountain View Window and Door. It's kind of a hard one to wear my Art of Construction hat and talk in generalities, but then also give real world examples, because to paint the picture, Tim's been with Mountain View going on a little over 2 months. And in those 2 months, we've always said we've done hardware, but we've always just done hardware that ties into our window and door packages and let someone else really own the details or the jewelry and all those kinds of items. And the internet has really changed how the hardware industry really works. Poles and all the standard stuff that you make a whole bunch of a single SKU, yes. But when it comes to that custom door and that 3-point hardware trim kit that's a custom piece, that's not something that you can just go on Amazon and buy, or, you know. So there's this huge disconnect, I think, in our industry as far as how hardware works. And I find it interesting how you answer that question. Quite frankly, hardware is just one of those bumps in the road for you as you're trying to get to the finish line. So me as the owner of Mountain View Window & Door said, I think we really have something here. And by getting an expert like Tim, I challenge you guys to think about things that could be the most successful thing in your business, but also the biggest challenge. How do you align those things? And that's what we're going through here at Mountain View, to say, okay, hardware is the necessary evil if you're going to sell hardware. So let's get our stuff on the internet, but blend all of that stuff together and then have a hardware expert like Tim that can capitalize and put those things together. So that's why I wanted to turn on the microphone, and that's what we're doing here at Mountain View, is trying to blend all those things. Tim, kind of tell us your thoughts and processes as you've came from working for Denver Hardware. Before that, you had your own Zorich building supply. Before that, you worked for other window and door suppliers.
Right.
Give us the kind of 30,000-foot view, and then we'll scope down and talk about what we're doing here at Mountain View.
Well, I think the thing that I noticed the most is that in a lot of cases, door shops love to poke holes in the doors first before they find out what hardware is going on them. So when I began to speak with you about coming to work here, I thought, this is a great situation because the right hand can talk to the left. There's going to be products out there. Once you punch a hole in the door, you're stuck with what you got, unless you want to replace doors. So it doesn't matter if it's a remodel, then you're stuck with what you got anyway. As in your house, we had to go back and modify the doors somewhat to accept the hardware. So if we're doing new construction, all of a sudden the right hand and the left hand are in communication instead of having two different companies, one prepping the doors, one supplying the hardware. So it did seem like a perfect match, in my opinion, to have the hardware and the doors coming from the same company, whether it be entry doors, patio doors, interior doors. All of those things can share information, and then that leaves a much wider selection for whether it's architect, designer, or homeowner in order to be able to coordinate all that.
You said something kind of interesting there, Tim. You said the door and the hardware are in communication. So maybe talk a little bit more about that. I've never heard it described that way, but it makes complete sense to me because in times that I've done that, my hardware and my doors didn't communicate very well, and I ended up having to get new hardware. So talk a little bit about that in detail, because obviously if you've got a piece of hardware that doesn't quite fit, communicate with that door, it's not going to work.
Yeah, Kevin, that's communication is the key between subcontractors, and it gets especially difficult when they're not even under the same roof and sometimes not even talking at all. If there's special circumstances like complicated multi-point locks for the Anderson product, then I can get involved early and often, hopefully solve the problems. Obviously, doors are made out of wood and hardware is made out of metal. So it seems a lot more sensible to have that communication take place before holes get put in the door. Multi-point hardware like Anderson's swing and sliding door hardware, you're stuck with the mechanisms that are already in the door. So the hardware expert has to come in and match those preparations. When it comes to entry doors, interior doors, if the homeowner wants something or architect wants something that's not necessarily the most common door prep, then we can catch each other and say, hey, this is going to be an inch and a half hole or inch and a quarter hole instead of 2 1/8. So that's a little overly technical, but once you got a hole punched in the door, you're stuck with what you got.
Have you ever seen a hinge a different color than the hardware?
All the time.
I make that joke is because I think that's the pivotal moment when you talk about the window and door package that nobody wants. We'll just let the interior designer worry about all the colors. Well, that hinge is the pivotal transition from the outside to the inside. Now, the trim kits, you can get temp hardware. You can work with a company like Mountain View to have certain things to work that and kick that can down the line when it comes to trim kits. But you have to have a hinge come on that door when it comes. And so that's where I always challenge people when they make that comment is we'll figure out the hardware color later. I said, well, you may have to swap out all the hinges and do all this extra work that we always talk about in the art of construction is get it right on paper, the whole process. So I challenge if the architect doesn't spec it, somebody on paper should spec what the mass hardware color is. And it drives me crazy on jobs, and you see it more often than you want, where you have a mixture of all these colors because people didn't communicate and all the different trades and suppliers and people are all coming with all this stuff. It, to me, the master hardware color is just as important as you say, here's the style of this house. If you were to say on the front of it, on the spec sheet with all the junk that's everybody's all about just covering their ass, if they put on there the style of the project and oil rub bronze is the master hardware color, that's a huge help for all these people that are involved in the project. And that's where we're always painting that picture. Kevin, tell our audience what we've done at Mountain View Window and Door internally when we hand off one of your window reps to Tim, our hardware specialist, what we do. And I think that's the time when you've now answered those questions to say, what's the hinge color? So that information is very relevant at that point, as well as they've selected this window, this door that Tim can work in. Or if maybe they haven't ordered the doors at that time, Tim can help collaborate and communicate from the left to the right.
All of these products, the windows, the doors, they all have a lot of details. Hardware is another level of details. And quite honestly, it's one of those things, even myself having done this for a few years, it's one of those deals you come down to the point of the hardware. And again, it's the last item on the list. It's very easy to end up in a situation where if you're not taking the direct hardware from, as an example, from one of the Anderson provided hardware packages that goes along with a swing door, and you're trying to do something aftermarket, it's very easy to get the wrong match. And so what we've decided to do internally here at Mountain View Window and Door at this point, since we've got a highly qualified expert in the hardware field with Tim, what we're doing is once we get done with that project for a client, we're handing it over to him automatically with all those attributes from the door and window package to then be able to look at and figure out what the best alternatives are from a hardware standpoint for that customer.
So what you're telling me is if you go into Mountain View Window and Door and you work with the window rep and you tell them the hardware colors, the window specs, the doors, all that kind of stuff, you guys actually keep that information and give it to a hardware rep so you don't have to now go to and retell the story again? And every time you tell the story, do you think there's possible places for issues to happen?
Absolutely. But the beauty of that is that those key pieces of information are transferred over to Tim, but then he can get into all the technical things to make sure that door hardware is communicating with that door and everything of that nature so that it works in the way it's supposed to, because it doesn't take too much to be off either on the back set or just on the dimensions of that aftermarket handle set to go on an Anderson door, let's say, to meet their style, for it not to fit properly, and then your customer's out for a period of time trying to get it reorganized.
All right, Tribe, I'm going to give you guys a challenge here to think through about what we just talked about. So everybody is always talking about price, 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 get the lower price, and shopping and all these kinds of things, and there's two things we never have enough of, and that's time and money. So I challenge you to think is to say the next time you go into your window supplier, find out what they really have to offer. Now, I think it's very critical that not someone that's everything to everybody, because you can only be so many things accurately and efficiently. But when you go into your window supplier, ask them about hardware on your windows and spend some time talking about that and getting that right instead of just beating them down on the price and then go to a hardware supplier to beat them down on the price. I bet if you were to take the time and collaborate and communicate the windows, doors, and hardware together and spend less time talking about how you can get the price lower, I bet at the end of the day, you're probably going to save time and money. And guess what? It's all going to work and collaborate and communicate together. So I think it's very important for you as when you're designing stuff or when you're building stuff is to think through that collaboration that we talk about all the time, is to say, I would just challenge you to say, pick your battles.
Well, here's a perfect example of how that happens in real time. So we work with a lot of customers that are involved in historic renovations. So they may be looking for new windows and doors in part of the house. They may be repurposing other doors that they want to keep in the other part of the house. And so we've had situations where customers have come to us and they said, well, don't worry about the hinges. We're going to source that on our own for the ones that we're going to repurpose, but they'll match the others. And so what happens, they go buy that box of hinges thinking that they're saving a ton of money. It turns out to be the wrong size, the wrong dimension, and they're stuck sending them back, paying for shipping, getting a credit, getting a restock fee. And at the end of the day, they ended up spending a lot more money.
You mean there's more than one size of hinge, Tim?
Stanley has an inch thick catalog, and that's just their standard offering. And I did spend a stint as the Stanley hardware rep, and our special application hinges, the catalog was almost as big as the regular catalog. So there's hundreds of patterns of hinges, thicknesses.
Just in Stanley brand.
Just in Stanley. And then multiply that times a dozen brands.
So this example you're giving of one of our customers at Mountain View said, we'll handle the hinges. That $20 they saved versus just letting our hardware expert to say, it's this thickness, it's this. This should be, over your years of experience, a Stanley or a Deltana or option A, B, and C, they have this special offset hinge or talk through the different, that has faded. So it originally was oil bronze, but it's more looking like an antique. An expert that can, contractors, surround yourself around good people that you like and trust and get out of the way and let us handle this stuff. We want to make you look good, but to make you look good, you have to work with a supplier like Mondwin Odor, and you can't take nickel dime the hinges from the supplier. We all have to work together. So when we're on the job site, the more hardware we can supply, the more ticket item we can sell that we all work off of commissions and getting our built up. So I want to talk about how you build up the hardware industry. And the hardware industry is very different than a lot of the different categories. And to cut to the chase, folks, the way hardware works is the big keep getting bigger. And the reason that is because they're mass producing this, and it's all based on shipping and minimums. And the more you ship, the less you can package together, that gets your freight costs down. But yet that needle in the haystack, when we talk about this special hinge, you got to find a place that can play both cards. So what are we doing here at Mountain View Window and Door, Tim, to offer hardware between our website offering to our inventory parts and special orders and packaging that all together?
Well, it's a little bit of a work in progress, but there's a time difference, as you alluded to, when windows go in, when the house is being dried in. The doors get hung before the drywall gets wrapped, and along comes hardware long after all the rest of that stuff is taken care of. So there's got to be a continuity, a flow to all of that. If you want to supply the hardware, then the people that did the doors, again, that goes back to the communication lines being open.
What over the years have you seen when you're working with contractors and architects or designers, Tim? What have you seen are some of the most critical things that they do and some of the things that are the biggest devastation from now working for a window and door supplier to being your own hardware company to working for the big hardware people as well as being a rep selling to us all?
Well, I guess from the hardware standpoint, it's a niche business. And it can cause way more problems than the amount of budget that it absorbs. We've talked about all the trades. We've talked about architects, designers, and homeowners. We've talked about prepping doors and windows before we ever know what the hardware is going to be. I like to boil hardware down into what I call feature, function, and finish. Feature is what it looks like. Function is how it acts. And finish is the color. So I always try to get people thinking about the feature, function, and finish so that they understand and can approach things like budget from a reasonable standpoint. I always try to give people an idea of a good, better, best idea in terms of budgetary allowance. A good brand might be Schlage or Kwikset. A better brand might be Emtek. And your superior brands might be Ashley Norton or Rocky Mountain. So I think because of the time differential between the different trades coming in, it's important to get people to think about hardware early when the house is being dried in. They need about it, whether there's going to be a difference between the exterior hardware and the interior. So you sort of think of it in little slices of the pie. And I think that architects, designers, homeowners, all of us professionals that are involved in the finish end of the house need to communicate copiously and speak in terms of feature, function, finish, all those adjectives that go into making, as you said, the jewelry, making the hardware the jewelry of the house.
Hello.
Hi. I've been listening to The Art of Construction, and I noticed you guys have no sponsors. Why is that?
Well, thanks for the call. We do actually have a sponsor. It's Mountain View Window and Doors, our sole sponsor to run this great podcast. But we're always looking for quality companies that might have an interest in our audience of great architects and contractors.
So how could I become a sponsor for you?
Well, that's simple. This is Devin Tilley here. And the background of this is we are very specific about creating this show that we don't want it to be a whole bunch of me, blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. This is all about you contractors and architects growing your business. And we're not going to fake it till we make it. This wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mountain View Window and Door. The studio is in the best showroom in the nation, awarded by Anderson Windows and Doors out of Denver, Colorado. But The Art of Construction is its own standalone platform that is now on its own website, www.theartofconstruction.net. And we are looking for the best advertiser, and we're not going to just settle for anybody. This is like Mountain View Window and Door, only the best that makes sense. And if you want to be part of that, reach out to us on theartofconstruction.net on the message board, and we'll run it through to the department and see if it's a good fit. So we look forward to talking to you, but we're going to guarantee you, contractors and architects, this is not an advertisement or a plug. This is all about you to grow your business. So it's kind of like when we think about our end customers, when they're going into buying a car, they have this mastered to where they have the basic car, but in the showroom they have the fancy seats, the dash, the this, the that, all the different tricks that then that's what is – and a car is like that upsell. And I think a lot of people look at the jewelry as just the upsell, but there's a lot of – when we talk about function and features and that behind the scenes when it comes to hardware. So I want to peel back a few of the layers and talk about things that drive me crazy in the hardware industry. And maybe, Tim, you can explain some of those details. And the first one is setbacks to be on the center of the style. I very rarely see that. And everyone, it's gotten to be at such a mass-produced market with the big box stores. It's like everything is a 2 3/8 back set, or everything's a 2 3/4 back set. Why 2 3/8? Why 2 3/4? So, Tim, talk about why you would do a certain setback and how contractors and architects listening to this to, say, specify or do this, require your door supplier to give you this or that, and talk through you as a hardware expert. What are the tools that can set you and all of us up to be successful?
Well, a good, for instance, was the job you and I visited the other day that had a house built in 1958 that had a 5-inch back set. A lot of people don't even know such a thing exists. So I think primarily...
So what is the setback for... Just explain the setback, and let's... I know our tribe is very... You know, majority of us already know everything we're talking about, but for a few of us juniors, let's talk about the beginning of what a setback is and build it up to why you would be custom 5-inch setback on this example you used.
In the residential arena, a 2 3/8-inch back set has been considered the standard. But for instance, lately a lot of people have been buying knobs rather than lever handles. So that distance is the distance from the edge of the door to the center of the door prep. If you have a house that has knobs in it, your knuckles are real close to the door frame, and you can knock the skin off your knuckles with a 2 3/8 back set. So in that scenario, you may want to communicate. In our case, it's all in under one roof, but communicate with the door shop that you want a 2 3/4 back set because you have knobs. There's also a 3 3/4 back set and 5-inch back set, which goes back many decades to when things weren't quite so standard in the hardware industry.
So again, just to recap, the setback is from the edge of the door to where the center of the door prep is. And when you say the door prep, it could be prep for a lot of custom applications. But that measurement is so key with, you know, 25 other key measurements when it comes down to it. But aesthetically, this is probably the most important measurement when you get all to the end of what your eyeball sees when you look at that jewelry. Because if you have a big 6-inch style on this cool custom door, but you go with this standard 2 3/8 back set, this lock is going to be far from centered on that. So it's very important to say, what is that? And it's really hard in certain production hardwares to get strikes that have a setback to meet a custom application. So sometimes you got to blend that. Like you talked about the feature, function, and finish, maybe you don't want to do this custom door with a big 6-inch style because the hardware that you're using for that doesn't work for that. So it's getting all those parts and pieces up front figured out to say, aesthetically, it may be really cool when you're thinking just about the door. Let's make it this big, beefy door, or let's only make it a 2-inch style. Right now I'm dealing with so many people that want all glass, and I say, time out. How's the hardware going to work on that door? Because you got to have enough strike. So I think that's a very important detail as we're going in these contemporary designs, but also understanding how it all works together. The next one is difference between a tubular lock and a mortise lock. Those two things are, when you talk with a hardware guy like Tim, that's like standard stuff. But I think a lot of people in our industry still really don't understand the differences and why you would use one or the other. So give us door locks 101, the difference between tubular and mortise and why and where.
The difference between an entry lock, it can apply to interior locks as well. But a mortise lock, I always say, is the one like your grandma used to have. It's a big case that goes in the edge of the door with some push buttons, and the deadbolt's self-contained. It's a substantial prep. It's usually done with a machine, and it's primarily used for entrance handles. But I have done houses where they had mortise locks throughout the house, even on the interiors. So needless to say, not only is the product more expensive, it's also more durable. It's also a substantial prep, so that a craftsman's probably a better person to put them in to actually do the installation. So the installation is a little bit higher priced. A tubular is more of a conventional hole prep. It's commonly a 2 1/8-inch hole. Then going back to backset, it can be 2 3/8 or 2 3/4 from the edge of the door. People can maybe cut their selection in half by not considering those products to begin with. You can see any number of houses up and down 17th Avenue, 6th Avenue, Monaco, all the parkways in downtown Denver with 100-year-old houses that have perfectly functioning 100-year-old mortise locks.
And for you global people, that's kind of here in Denver, kind of the prestigious kind of older home, nicer home areas that back in the day they used mortise locks on those premium homes. And I don't see a lot of premium homes today. I would say majority of them are tubular entry locks. And it's just because it's the path of least resistance, and I think, quite frankly, education.
Once in a while, you will see them on an entry door, the front entry door, but you're right. We don't see them very often at all on the interior, and very little at all.
Yeah, I have to tell a story about the show home. The real estate agents, instead of thinking this was this, you know, upgrade that I put on this spec house I built and that we talked about on previous shows, they multiple times locked themselves out because they don't understand that you have to hit the push button on the side. It's become so obsolete that it's just a shame when you think about this industry. It's like I finally got a chance to watch on the History Channel. Brent Hall was a previous guest on The Art of Construction, and he's got his own TV show now on the History Channel called Historic Renovation. We'll put a link on the show notes, but it's so rewarding for us that truly care. And the show was all about these homeowners that they had hired a contractor to come in and rehab one of the pillars on the entrance of their house. And he came and he botched it up and he messed up the pillar. So the homeowner comes out and the contractor's out there with a sawzall just cutting it up to basically kind of try to bury the deal because it was too hard to restore this column and he was just going to go get a cheap one made. Well, the whole show, Brent and his team take it back to his shop and they repurpose and rebuild this column that was hacked up as a sawzall. So I just hit me, Lone Star Renovation is the name of this show with Brent. But the reason I tell that story is because there truly are people that care. And I think there's this resurgence when you look at grocery stores with the organic foods, and it's not about just what's the cheapest, fastest thing to put on in the grocery store. It's saying, time out. Let's look at this. What's the best, longest plan? And I think mortise locks definitely fall into that category. When you feel a mortise lock, that's part of our presentation at Mountain View. It's like, feel this lock and feel this lock. Well, which lock do you want? We all know which lock they're going to choose, but there's more prep and work and stuff that goes into a mortise lock. Would you say that's a fair analogy of kind of, unfortunately, where the market, a lot of it is gone, but where we here at the Art of Construction want to bring back, like Brent has done, an excellent job of kind of bringing back the best way to do things, not about what's the cheapest way to do things.
I think, again, you have to get ahead of the process because decisions need to be made. Just like when I decided to pull the trigger on that elk, decisions have to be made, and sometimes they don't always get made in the perfect order. And so if you catch the entrance in time, that's really, in a lot of cases, the centerpiece of a beautiful home is a beautiful entryway. And to put a $150 entrance handle set on a $2-4 million house, who knows? It happens all the time. But if you really want to set it off, if you really want that to stand out, you don't want as I alluded to before, if you have a good, better, best scenario, you don't want a good handle on the best door. It just doesn't look right. You end up with a mortise lock by Rocky Mountain or Baldwin, and it's going to look beautiful. It's going to agree with the door that it's on.
That's so well said. I always say the front door is like that hood ornament of the house. Well, that hood ornament of the car is that, back in the day, it was the Cadillac emblem, and yep. Now it's that emblem on the car. If that falls off or gets scraped, people will pay whatever it costs to have that emblem on there. It's kind of the same thing like the lock on your front door. People overlook that, but it's such an important part. It's another show, another whole conversation with these contemporary, these big, long handles to say, if it's just a big, long handle, how do you lock that? Well, roller catches and custom applications, going back to talking with a supplier that can pull all the things together efficiently. My third pet peeve that I have to have us talk about is door stops. Door stops is that little thing that I think I find it more often than not, no one ever just talks about it, and they run down to whatever the local supplier, big, you know, and they just say, just give me 10 of these and 10 of these, and they just go grab them and they throw them to the guy who's ever throwing the doors in, and whatever, however, ends up making the doors, because the only thing they care about at that time is the house is totally finished. They're doing the walkthrough tomorrow, and they don't want the handle that they're putting on the doors today to put a hole into the wall. So they're like, or you'll see it at the final thing with the box from the door still sitting behind there because they forgot about door stops. So, Tim, tell us about where is the right application for door stops. And again, working with a place like Mountain View that actually stocks all the different ones that we keep in stock for the right application per opening, right?
Yes, and I think houses get trickier and trickier in terms of how doors swing into walls, swing into cabinets. You may have
pocketing.
Yeah, pocket doors and barn doors are really tricky now. Another, for instance, would be if you have tile baseboard. Well, where are you going to put the door stop? You can use a floor stop, but then sometimes you have radiant floor heating. So door stops get trickier and trickier. It's one of those little things that's easily overlooked, as you said. It also has to go with the flavor of the house again. As you mentioned before, the sleek, modern, minimalist look is very in right now, especially with millennials and people of that age. You don't want a streamlined doorstop in a house where everything's a cube or a square. You can pick things made out of stainless steel. You can pick things that are square. You can pick things, baseboard doorstops that screw into the base that have a square plate around them so that they're more stable. You can pick things in stainless steel. There's polished nickels, very popular. So there really is, how much more mundane can you get than talking about doorstops? But you really have to think about them in order for that little accent to be commensurate with the rest of the hardware.
Well, yeah. But the key takeaway there, I think, is just like you talked about before, is being able to have customers come to an expert that can look at a set of plans and say, hey, look, in this area, have you thought about this condition, that condition, so that when the door swings, you've taken into account your radiant heat flooring, and you've taken into account the cabinet that it may bump into. How are we going to address this and come up with a reasonable solution before it's too late?
Yeah, and you may be listening to saying, well, then forget it, just put hinge stops on anything. But if you have experience with hinge stops, you only use hinge stops if you absolutely have to, because hinge stops ruin the door system, because we don't want to supply you doors, and then now you're getting callbacks because you put it on the door that they use 50 times a day, and they ruin that door. And it can be a domino effect by truly in hardware. Folks, the devil's in the details. And if you don't take time to understand the details, the devil will come out. Bottom line.
Good point.
So, Tim, are there any other kind of closing thoughts that you would want to share with our audience as we've continuing to build this hardware portfolio at our company and want to share our experiences with the audience listening out there?
Devil in the details is a good way to put it. You wouldn't dress up in a three-piece suit and then throw a ball cap on and walk out to a wedding. And that's kind of what hardware is like. If all of a sudden the budget's all gone, you put a spring stop like you'd see in a $20 hotel on your $1 million house, it's just incongruous. It doesn't make sense. So hopefully there's enough room in the budget in order to pay attention to those last details. And it's always the same things. It's lighting, it's plumbing, it's hardware, it's carpet. The budget gets blown frequently. But hardware is a functional necessity. There, that doesn't mean that it has to be plain Jane just because you ran out. Let's figure out if you really like a $300 doorknob, but it's not in the budget. Let's see what you like in the $300 doorknob and see if we can find something in the middle that's not going to compromise the quality of the job.
Definitely. Thanks for coming into Studio MVWD. And if you're in Colorado, we got a great hardware expert here at Mountain View Window and Door with Tim Zorich.
Thank you.
Cool.
Who would have ever thought that hardware was that interesting? I mean, there's a lot of good things to...
What do you mean? Doorstops aren't interesting?
Absolutely. No, I mean, they really are because of the final outcome of what can go wrong and how to get it right in the first place, like we talk about so often.
You know, I look at these jobs and the things, it's all the complications along the line. But when it comes down to punch list time, I think hardware is things you see all over that punch list, whether it's, oh, the handrail bracket's not working. It's a different color. Well, those Anderson trim kits don't match the interior door next to it. Oh, they forgot door stops and there's a hole in the wall. And now you're trying to get your drywaller back there to fix that hole. I know everybody listening to this it goes through that, but we all have to look ourselves in the mirror and say these kinds of things. And I know people are listening and say, I don't have time. And Devin, you could talk about house wrap like this, you know, that it's, you know, we just run down to the Home Depot and grab house wrap because we're out of house wrap. Or you see those jobs where there's five different types of house wrap because exactly. They're just using everything up. Well, there's a science to that as well. So it's our job as the leaders in the industry. So all of us that are part of the art of construction, good is not always good enough. And you got to make sure you have your details on right on paper because it's an evil world out there. If you don't get your ducks in a row, the hardware that could only be in, you know, you say it's a $1,200 line item, but there's a lot of other things that filter into that hardware category that can really mess you up if you don't get it right and communicate with you and your clients up front and get all the specs right.
Well, keep in mind, it won't be as cheap if it doesn't work and it won't be as beautiful if it doesn't work. So you might as well get it right in the first place and come in so we can kind of help you out here with Tim's expertise.
So wherever you're at in the world, I would definitely recommend my call to action is to have a little bit longer chat with your suppliers, whether it's find a place that you could get your plumbing faucets and your all your stuff from that plumbing warehouse, just like your window door. Try to find groups of places because we never have enough time and we never have enough money. So surround yourself around good people that you like and trust. And I hope if you're in Colorado, you would give Mountain View Window and Door a shot. Because that's really what feeds the fuel for us to have the passion and drive back and give to the industry on the art of construction.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.